I realize today you are the hardest working monk on the planet, Dante. Interviewing all day long and then doing a Dhamma talk at night.
You should have seen me in Malaysia. 52 interviews.
Oh, every day.
Every day.
With a translator?
No. Everybody understood English.
35, the shorter discourse to
Satchika.
Satchika. Today is April 4th, 2018. We're at the St. Francis Retreat Center in San Juan Bautista, California. Tonight, Bhante Vilamaramsi is going to read from the Majjhima Nikaya, Sutta number 35, the shorter discourse to Satchika.
Thus have I heard on one occasion, excuse me, the Blessed One was living in Visali in the great wood in the hall with a peaked roof. Now on that occasion, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, was staying at Visali. He was a debater and a clever speaker, regarded by many as a saint. He was making this statement before the Visali assembly. I see no recluse or Brahmin, the head of an order, the head of a group, the teacher of a group, even one claiming to be accomplished and fully awakened, who would not shake, shiver, and tremble and sweat under the armpits if he were to engage in debate with me. He's setting himself up pretty good. Even if I were to engage in a senseless post and debate, it would shake, shiver, and tremble. If it were to engage in debate with me, so what should I say about a human being? Then, when it was morning, the venerable Asaji, dressed and taking his bowl and outer robe, went into Visali for alms. As Satchika, the Nigantha's son, was walking and wandering for exercise in Visali, he saw the venerable Asaji coming in the distance and went up to him and exchanged greetings with him. When this courteous and amiable talk was finished, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, stood at one side and said to him, Master Asaji, how does the recluse Gotama discipline his disciples? And how is the recluse Gotama's instruction usually presented to his disciples? This is how the Blessed One disciplines his disciples, Satchika. And this is how the Blessed One's instruction is usually presented to his disciples. Monk's material form is impermanent. Feeling is impermanent. Perception is impermanent. Formations are impermanent. Consciousness is impermanent. Monk's material form is not self. Feeling is not self. Perception is not self. Formations are not self. Consciousness is not self. All formations are impermanent. All things are not self. That is how the Blessed One disciplines his disciples, and how the Blessed One's instruction is usually presented to his disciples. We have heard what the recluse Gotama asserts. We have indeed heard what is disagreeable. Perhaps sometime or other we might meet Master Gotama and have some conversation with him. Perhaps we might detach him from that evil view. Now, at that time, 500 Lekavis had met together in an assembly hall for some business or other. Then Satchika, the Nigantha son, went to them and said, "Come forth, good Lekavis, come forth. Today there will be some conversation between me and the recluse Gotama. If the recluse Gotama maintains before me what he's maintained before one of his famous disciples, the monk named Asaji, then just as a strong man might seize a long-haired ram by the hair and drag him to and drag him fro and drag him round about, so in debate, I will drag the recluse Gotama too, and drag him fro, and drag him round about. Just as a strong brewer's workman might throw a big brewer's sieve into deep water tank and take it out by the corners, and drag it too, and drag it fro, and drag it round about. So in debate, I will drag the recluse Gotama too, and drag him fro, and drag him round about. Just as a strong brewer's mixer might take a strainer by the corners and shake it down and shake it up and thump it about, so in debate, I will shake the recluse Gotama down and shake him up and thump him about. Just as a 60-year-old elephant might plunge into a deep pond and enjoy playing the game of hemp washing, so I shall enjoy playing the game of hemp washing with the recluse Gotama. Come forth, good Lekavis, come forth. Today, there will be some conversation between me and the recluse Gotama." Now, Satchika was renowned for going to all of these different teachers that were teaching different things and having debate and getting in arguments with them. So he's going to try to do that with the Buddha. Thereupon, some Lekavi said, "Who is the recluse Gotama that he could refute Satchika, the Nigantha's son, assertions? On the contrary, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, will refute the recluse Gotama's assertions." And some Lekavis said, "Who is Satchika, the Nigantha's son, that he could refute the Blessed One's assertion? On the contrary, the Blessed One will refute Satchika, the Nigantha's son's assertions." Then Satchika, the Nigantha's son, went with 500 Lekavis to the hall with the peaked roof in the great wood. Now, on that occasion, a number of monks were walking up and down in the open. Then Satchika, the Nigantha's son, went up to them and asked, "Where, Master Gotama, where is Master Gotama staying, sirs? We want to see Master Gotama. The Blessed One has entered the great wood, Satchika, and is sitting at the root of a tree for the day's abiding. Then Satchika, the Nigatha son, together with a large following of Lekavis, entered the great wood and went to the Blessed One. He exchanged greetings with the Blessed One. After this courteous and amiable talk was finished, sat down at one side. Some of the Lekavis paid homage to the Blessed One and sat down at one side. Some exchanged greetings with him. And when this courteous and amiable talk was finished, sat down at one side. Some extended their hands in reverential salutation towards the Blessed One and sat down at one side. That's called Anjali. Some pronounced the name and clan in the Blessed One's presence and sat down at one side. Some kept silent and sat down at one side. When Satchika, the Nigatha son, had sat down, he said to the Blessed One, I would like to question Master Gotama on a certain point. If Master Gotama would grant me the favor of an answer to the question. Ask what you like, Satchika. How does Master Gotama discipline his disciples, and how is Master Gotama's instruction usually presented to his disciples? This is how I discipline my disciples, Satchika, and this is how my instruction is usually presented to my disciples. Monk's material form is impermanent. Feeling is impermanent. Perception is impermanent. Formations are impermanent. Consciousness is impermanent. Monk's material form is not self. Feeling is not self. Perception is not self. Formations are not self. And all formations are impermanent. All things are not self. That is the way I discipline my disciples, and that is how my instruction is usually presented to my disciples. A simile occurs to me, Master Gotama. Explain how it occurs to you, Satchika. The Blessed One said, just as when seeds and plants, whatever their kind, reach growth, increase, and maturation, all do so in dependence upon the earth, based upon the earth, and just as when strenuous works, whatever their kind, are done, all are done in dependence on the earth, based on the earth. So too, Master Gotama. A person has material form as self, and based upon material form, he produces merit or demerit. A person has feeling and is based upon feeling. He produces merit or demerit. A person has perception as self, and based upon perception, he produces merit or demerit. A person has formations as self, and based upon formation, he produces merit or demerit. A person has consciousness as self, and based upon consciousness, he produces merit or demerit. Satchika, are you not asserting thus? Material form is myself. Feeling is myself. Excuse me. My throat is dry tonight. Perception is myself. Formations are myself. Consciousness is myself. I assert thus, Master Gotama, material form is myself, feelings are myself, perception is myself, formations are myself, consciousness is myself, and so does this great multitude. What has this great multitude to do with you, Satchika? Please confine yourself to your own assertions alone. Then, Master Gotama, I assert material form is myself, feeling is myself, perception is myself, formations are myself, consciousness is myself. In that case, Satchika, I shall ask you a question in return. Answer it as you choose. What do you think, Satchika? Would a head-anointed king, a noble king, for example, King Pasanadi of Kosala or King Ajatasattu of Magadha, exercise the power in their own realm to execute those who should be executed, to find those who should be fined, and to banish those who should be banished? Master Gotama, a head-anointed noble king, for example, King Pasanadi of Kosala, or King Ajatasattu of Magadha, would exercise the power in his own realm to execute those who should be executed, to find those who should be fined, to banish those who should be banished. For even these oligarchic communities and societies, such as the Vajjayans and the Malians, exercise the power in their own realm to execute those who should be executed, to find those who should be fined, to banish those who should be banished. So, all the more so, the head anointed king, such as Pasanadi of Kosala or King Ajatasattu of Magadha, he would exercise it, Master Gotama, and he would be worthy to exercise it. What do you think, Satchika, when you say thus? Material form is myself. Do you exercise any such power? That material form, over that material form, as to say, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. When this was said, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, was silent. A second time the Blessed One asked the same question, and a second time Satchika, the Nigantha's son, was silent. Then the Blessed One said to him, Satchika, answer now. Now is not the time to be silent. If anyone, when asked a reasonable question up to the third time by the Tathagata, still does not answer, his head splits into seven pieces there and then. Don't mess with the Tathagata. Now, on that occasion, a thunderbolt-wielding spirit holding an iron thunderbolt that burned, blazed, and glowed, appeared in the air above Satrika, the Niganta's son, thinking, if this Satrika, the Niganta's son, won't ask a reasonable question up to the third time by the Blessed One, still does not answer, I will split his head into seven pieces here and now. The Blessed One saw the thunderbolt-wielding spirit, and so did Satrika, but nobody else did. Then Satrika, the Niganta's son, was frightened, alarmed, and terrified, seeking his shelter and asylum and refuge in the Blessed One himself. He said, ask me, Master Gotama, I will answer you. What do you think, Satrika, when you say thus, material form is myself? Do you exercise any such power over the material form as to say, let myself be thus, let my form not be thus? No, Master Gotama. Pay attention, Satrika, pay attention to how you reply. What you said afterwards does not agree with what you said before, nor does what you said before agree with what you said afterwards. What do you think, Satrika, when you say thus, feeling is myself? Do you exercise any power over that feeling as to say, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus? No, Master Gotama. Pay attention, Satrika, pay attention to how you reply. What you said afterwards does not agree with what you said before, nor does what you said before agree with what you said afterwards. What do you think, Satrika, when you say perception is myself? Do you exercise any power over that perception as to say, let my perception be thus, let my perception not be thus? No, Master Gotama. Pay attention, Satrika, pay attention to how you reply. What you said afterwards does not agree with what you said before, nor does what you said before agree with what you said afterwards. What do you think, Satrika, when you say thus, formations are myself? Do you exercise any such power over these formations as to say, let my formations be thus, let my formations not be thus? No, Master Gotama. Pay attention, Satrika. You really... Pay attention to how you reply. What you said afterwards does not agree with what you said before, nor does what you said before agree with what you said afterwards. What do you think, Satrika, when you say thus, consciousness is myself? Do you exercise any such power over that consciousness as to say, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus? No, Master Gotama. Pay attention, Satrika, pay attention to how you reply. What you said afterwards does not agree with what you said before, nor does what you said before agree with what you said afterwards. What do you think, Satrika? Is material form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Master Gotama. is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus. This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Master Gotama. What do you think, Satchika, is feeling permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus. This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Master Gotama, is perception permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus. This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Master Gotama. Are formations permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus. This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Master Gotama, is consciousness permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering or happiness? Suffering, Master Gotama, is what is impermanent, suffering and subject to change, fit to be regarded thus. This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Master Gotama, what do you think, Satchika, when one adheres to suffering, resorts to suffering, holds to suffering, and regards what is suffering thus, this is mine, this I am, this is myself. Could one ever fully understand suffering oneself or abide suffering utterly destroyed? How could one, Master Gotama? No, Master Gotama. What do you think, Satchika, that being so, do you not adhere to suffering, resort to suffering, hold to suffering, and regard what is suffering thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. How could I not, Master Gotama? Yes, Master Gotama. So he keeps on changing his views on this. Isn't that something? It's as though a man needing heartwood, seeking heartwood, wandering search of heartwood, were to take a sharp axe and enter the wood, and there he would see a large plantain banana tree, straight, young, without fruit bud, a fruit bud core. Then he would cut it down at the root, cut off the crown, and unroll the leaf sheaths. But as he went on unrolling the leaf sheets, he would never come to any sapwood, let alone heartwood. So too, Satchika, when you are pressed, questioned, and cross-questioned by me about your own assertion, you turn out to be empty, vacant, and mistaken. But it was you who made this statement before the Vaisali assembly. I see no recluse or Brahmin, the head of an order, the head of a group, the teacher of a group, or even one claiming to be accomplished and fully awakened, who would not shake, shiver, and tremble and sweat under the armpits if he were to engage in debate with me, even if I were to engage with a post in debate. It would shake, shiver, and tremble if it were to engage in debate with me. So, what shall I say of a human being? Now, there are these drops of sweat on your forehead, and they have soaked through your upper robe and fallen to the ground. But there's no sweat on my body now. The Blessed One uncovered his golden color body before the assembly. What this was, said Satchika, the Nigantha son, or when this was said, excuse me, the Nigantha son sat silent, dismayed, shoulders drooping, head down, glum, and without response. When Dhammuka, the son of the Lekavis, seeing Satchika, the Nigantha son, in such condition, said to the Blessed One, a simile occurs to me, Master Gotama. Explains how it occurs to you, Dhammuka. Suppose, Venerable Sir, not far from a village or town, there was a pool with a crab in it. And then a party of boys or girls went out from the town or village to the pond, went into the water and pulled the crab out of the water and put it on dry land. Whenever the crab extended a leg, they would cut it off, broke it, and smashed it with sticks and stones. So that crab, with all his legs cut off, broken, and smashed, would be unable to get back to the pond as before. So too, all Satchika, the Nigantha son's contortions, writhings, and vacillations have been cut off, broken, and smashed by the Blessed One. And now he cannot get near the Blessed One again for the purpose of debate. When this was said, Satchika, the Nigantha son, told him, wait, Dhammuka, wait. We are not speaking with you. Here we are speaking with the Master Gotama. Then he said, let be, Master Gotama, that talk of ours, of other recluses and Brahmins. It was mere prattle. But in what way is a disciple of Master Gotama one who carries out his instructions, who responds to his advice, who has crossed beyond doubt, become free from perplexity, gained intrepidity, and become independent of others in the teacher's dispensation? Here, Satchika, any kind of material form, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, a disciple of mine sees all material forms as it actually is with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. Any kind of feeling, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, near or far, a disciple of mine sees all feeling as it actually is with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. Any kind of perception, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, near or far, a disciple of mine sees all perception as it actually is with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. Any kind of formations, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, near or far, a disciple of mine sees all formations as it they actually are, with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. Any kind of consciousness for any kind of consciousness, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, a disciple of mine sees all consciousness as it actually is with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. It is in this way that a disciple of mine is one who carries out my instruction, who responds to my advice, who has crossed beyond doubt, become free from perplexity, gained intrepidity, and become independent of others in the teacher's dispensation. Becoming independent of others means that you've been teaching yourself and you have no doubts at all that this is how it actually occurs. Master Gotama, in what way is a monk an arahat with taints destroyed? One who has lived the holy life, done what had to be done, laid down the burden, reached his own goal, destroyed the fetters of being, and is completely liberated through final knowledge. Here, Sachika, any kind of material form, whatever, past, future, or present, internal or external, subtle or gross, inferior or superior, near or far, a monk has seen all material form as it actually is with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. And through not craving and clinging, he is liberated. Any kind of feeling, whatever, any kind of perception, whatever, any kind of formation, whatever, any kind of consciousness, whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, a monk has seen all consciousness and all of these aggregates as they actually are, with proper wisdom thus. This is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself. And through not craving and clinging, he is liberated. It is in this way that a monk is an arahat with taints destroyed, who has lived the holy life, done what had to be done, laid down the burden, reached his own goal, destroyed the fetters of being, and is completely liberated through final knowledge. When a monk's mind is thus liberated, he possesses three unshakable qualities: unsurpassable vision, unsurpassable practice, unsurpassable deliverance. When a monk is thus liberated, he still honors, respects, reveres, and venerates the Tathagata thus. The Blessed One is awakened. He teaches the Dhamma for the sake of awakening. The Blessed One is tamed, and he teaches the Dhamma for taming oneself. The Blessed One is at peace, and he teaches the Dhamma for the sake of peace. The Blessed One is crossed over, and he teaches the Dhamma for crossing over. The Blessed One has attained Nibbana, and he teaches the Dhamma for attaining Nibbana. When this was said, Sachika, the Nigatha son, replied, Master Gotama, we were bold and impudent in thinking we could attack Master Gotama and debate. A man might attack a mad elephant and find safety, yet he could not attack Master Gotama and find safety. A man might attack a blazing mass of fire and find safety, yet he could not attack Master Gotama and find safety. A man might attack a terrible poisonous snake and find safety, yet he could not attack Master Gotama and find safety. We were bold and impudent in thinking we could attack Master Gotama in debate. Let the Blessed One, together with the Sangha of monks, consent to accept a meal from me. The Blessed One consented in silence. Then, knowing that the Blessed One had consented, Sachika, the Nigantha son, addressed the Lekavis. Hear me, Lekavis, the recluse Gotama, together with the Sangha of good monks, has been invited by me for tomorrow's meal. You may bring to me whatever you think would be suitable for him. When the night was ended, the Lekavis brought 500 ceremonial dishes of milk rice as gifts of food. Then Sachika, the Nigantha son, had good food of various kinds prepared in his own park, and had the time announced to the Blessed One. It is time, Master Gotama, the meal is ready. Now this milk rice, there's a way of making milk rice that's very easy. But there were rich people that had a lot of land, and their milk rice was not using water to give to the rice, it was milk. And then when that the rice was ready to pick, they kept that rice and they put it in the ground and grew it again with milk. And they did that for three seasons. And that milk rice is amazing. I had the opportunity to taste some. I just had a small spoonful. But boy, is it worth it. But they do make milk rice very quickly just by putting some milk instead of water and cooking the rice. Then, it being morning, the Blessed One dressed, taking his bowl and outer robe, went with the Sangha of monks to the park of Satchika, the Nigantha's son, and sat down on a seat made ready. Then, with his own hands, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, served and satisfied the Sangha of monks headed by the Buddha with various kinds of good food. When the Blessed One had eaten and put his bowl aside, Satchika, the Nigantha's son, took a low seat, sat at one side, and said to the Blessed One, "Master Gotama, may the merit and the great meritorious fruits of this act of giving be for the happiness of the givers." Satchika, whatever comes from giving to a recipient such as myself, one who is not, such as yourself, excuse me, one who is not free from lust, not free from hate, not free from delusion, that will be for the givers. And whatever comes from giving to a recipient as myself, one who is free from lust, free from hate, and free from delusion, that will be for you. Interesting, because it really brings home, this is not me. This is not mine. This is not myself. So, there is another sutta that I wanted to read some of it about, some of this to you. And it's about the kinds of speech that can occur when people are talking to you. There are these five courses of speech that others may use when they address you. Their speech may be timely or untimely, true or untrue, gentle or harsh, connected with good or with harm, spoken with a mind of loving kindness or with inner hate. When others address you, their speech may be timely or untimely. When others address you, their speech may be true or untrue. When others address you, their speech may be gentle or harsh. When others address you, their speech may be connected with good or with harm. When others address you, their speech may be spoken with a mind of loving kindness or with inner hate. You should train thus. Our minds will remain unaffected, and we shall utter no evil words. We shall abide compassionate for their welfare with a mind of loving kindness, without inner hate. We shall abide pervading that person with a mind imbued with loving kindness. And starting with him, we shall abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. That is how you should train. Now, I had a conversation with somebody that was pretty well versed in the Buddha's teaching, and he made the statement, you know, it's too bad that the Buddha only taught mindfulness of breathing. He didn't teach any other kind of meditation. What did I just get through reading? Right speech, but it is a kind of meditation. So when you speak to another person, you radiate loving kindness to them. And use that person as the reminder when you go other places to radiate loving kindness all the time to the entire world, to all beings. Keep your mind focused on that, and you know what? You're never going to have any ill will. You're never going to have any hatred. So, there's a challenge for you there. Remember to do that. One of the reasons that I talk a lot about smiling is so that you can remember to carry the smile with you whenever you're talking to somebody else. The smile doesn't necessarily need to be on your lips, but the smile. Smile in your mind and radiate loving kindness to that person. Every person wants more loving kindness. Every person, they really desire it. Now, I've been in situations when two people are arguing, and when that happens, they happen to come to me. Aren't I lucky? And they start arguing right in front of me. Now, I'm not stupid enough to get into the middle of an argument, but I can radiate loving kindness, and that's what I do. After a minute or two, they stop yelling at each other and really using harsh speech, and they start discussing what's really happening here, and they find out it's not what they were so highly emotional about. And I continue radiating loving kindness to them. And after a couple of minutes, they start laughing with each other. And then they'll say, you know, I'm really busy now, Bhante. I gotta go. Thanks. And I haven't said a word. That's how strong loving kindness is. If you see an accident, radiate loving kindness to everybody involved. I've seen accidents. I pulled over to the side of the road, start radiating loving kindness. People are running around and they're being disjointed with what they're doing. And all of a sudden, they calm down and then they start doing things purposefully. And then they take care of what needs to be taken care of. This one lady was caught in the car, and they figured out a way to get her out of the car without harming her. And then I see that, and I go, okay, you don't need me anymore. You guys are all calm, and you're centered, and you're doing the right things. You can put loving kindness into any kind of situation that you're in. The more you do it, the more you practice with your smile. Smile. The more miracles you start to see. This is for real. I mean, what I just talked about, people being really angry, they were about ready to come to blows. And all of a sudden, this miracle started happening because I was radiating loving kindness. And their minds went from really angry and highly emotional to peaceful and calm. Isn't that a miracle? I mean, think about it. It really is a miracle. You've heard me talk about this before, that I used to go to hospitals. I get invited to go to the hospital. My mother is sick. She's dying of cancer or some kind of other major problem that they have. And as I'm walking down the hall to go to to visit that person and their family, I start reminding myself that their pain is theirs. I can't take their pain away, but I can love them without any conditions. So I start radiating loving kindness as I'm going into the room, and I see the family members. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They can hardly stand being with someone that's suffering so much. But as I start radiating loving kindness, and the person can be in so much pain that they're really groaning and moaning, and they're really in intense pain. But after being beside them and radiating loving kindness to them without touching them, I see them start to have balance in their mind. And I see the family members starting to have a feeling of relief. Now, what generally happens with the family members is it's so painful for them to see a loved one in pain that they'll go into the room and they'll fluff up a pillow and they'll talk for a minute and they'll make the bed sheets better and open up a window or close a window. And then they go, I gotta go. I can't stand being in here. But they always seem to stick around when I'm there. And after a short period of time, they start laughing. Now, this person is suffering. And I do something or say something to make them laugh. And what does the laughter do? It opens up the pineal gland and releases all the endorphins. And they don't hurt as much. Now, isn't that a miracle? Sometimes when I would go to the hospital, somebody else would find out I'm there and take me to their relative or whatever. And one time, this woman had just gotten out of surgery. She had stomach cancer. And she was still under sedation. So they took me down to where she was, and we had to put the robes on and all of this kind of thing. And she had a oxygen mask that was clear, so I could see her face more clearly. So I started radiating loving kindness to her. And I closed my eyes and I was really going at it and radiating this nice loving kindness. And the family member tapped me on the hand, and I said, "What?" She's smiling. And she was under, but she was smiling. Isn't that a miracle? See, the thing with this meditation is the more you use it, the more you see wonderful things happen. Remember to use it all the time. As much as you possibly can. A lot of people say, okay, I'm getting off retreat. How long do you want me to sit? Don't ever ask me those kind of questions. 8 hours? That's only a third of a day. You got other, you can go to work for 8 hours, you can get 8 hours sleep, easy. Or sit in the morning, sit for at least an hour or however much time you have. I had one student that he really got enthusiastic. His kids got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to school, so he would get up at 4 o'clock and sit till 6 o'clock, and he did it every morning. His progress was, oh, he was just zooming. It was really, really fun to watch. And of course he was successful and became a sotapanna, and his whole perspective of everything started changing, and he became much lighter. And he was in a business where there was, well, he was a lawyer, and lawyers are supposed to be nasty and mean. And he just couldn't do that anymore. And they're also into their greed, and he wasn't interested in that anymore. His mind became really nice and balanced. So, please remember that when you get up, when you go to bed at night, make the determination that you're going to wake up smiling and happy. And when you do, keep it going. So, you're going to brush your teeth in the morning? You got to smile anyway. You're looking in a mirror, right? So start radiating loving kindness to yourself. Or somebody that you're going to see during the day. There's all kinds of little keys that you can use to remind yourself to radiate loving kindness. Every time you go through a door, radiate loving kindness. When you're driving and you're in a traffic jam, you're not even moving most of the time. So start radiating loving kindness. You know what everybody else in that jam is thinking? Of course you do, because you used to do it. Let's change that habit and radiate loving kindness to everybody else and wish them well. It's a good thing to do. Not because you have to, but it feels good. And the more you smile, the more you have fun in life and practice a loving kindness, the easier it becomes. One of the things that I do, it's kind of a weird thing, I guess, is I like to talk to plants. I have some rose bushes right out in front. And I'll go up and talk to them, or talk to the grapevines. We have a grape arbor in front of my cabin. And they seem to grow much better and be more healthy. It's really kind of fun to watch. So there's all different ways that you can practice loving kindness. Not necessarily just to yourself or just to other human beings. We have animals around us. We have some wild animals around us, rabbits, and there used to be a groundhog, but I haven't seen him for a couple years now. But they very much appreciate you wishing them well. I wish the wasp happiness. Last year, about in May, it happened. I actually got bit by a wasp, and I was so shocked. I've been around a lot of wasps, and they get inside, and I catch them, and I let them outside, telling them, tell your friends that I'm your friend, you don't need to bite me. This guy, he was just angry. What can I say? And I got, my hand swelled up real big, but why don't you put forgiveness in the pain and watch what happens? I have a wood-burning stove, and sometimes the wood-burning stove gets real hot, and then I have to put some more wood in it, and I open it up and I touch some of the metal or whatever. Now, because I like to experiment with whether this works or not, what I do is I get burned. I really know it's really there, it really hurts, and I start forgiving it for causing me pain. It doesn't blister up. The next day it's a red mark. A couple days later it's gone. If I don't do that, the next day, it's a big blister, and it lasts for more than a week. So, what does that tell you? When you have a painful thing happen, forgive the pain for causing you problems. Anytime you have a little pain coming up, forgive it for being there. So the more you can keep the loving kindness and forgiveness going, the more your mind tends towards that, right? What you think and ponder on, that's the inclination of your mind.
So speaking of plants, I had read a study that it was like 400 at the retirement home, 400 people living individually there, and they were all given plants. Half of them, the plants were taken care of by the facility members. The other half, the individual themselves would have to take care of the plant. At the end of the three-month study, everyone that had to take care of the plant on their own felt happier. So it proved that just watering and taking care of a plant is helping your own happiness, because you're assuming, oh, it's just a plant, it's not going to do anything. But they said that when the study was done, everyone that had to take care of the plant reported genuinely more happiness than the other ones, which is kind of cool. So.
I worked at a nursing home where we went to the animal shelter and brought back some dogs and cats and just let them run free in the nursing home. And these old people would grab the cat would start coming in. We did it every day for quite a while. And they knew where they wanted to go and who they wanted, and they'd just pet them and talk to them. And it was amazing to see how much happiness happened just by them having something to do and something to love.
And I think they might have done that at the Colorado maximum security, where some of the most violent criminals when they're given to take care of a hat, you could see how they're just human beings that wanted to care, you know?
Well, some of them, and others lead them.
Right.
With the right confidence.
But the thing is, you're in charge of number one. Why don't you be happy? Why don't you focus on happiness and forgiveness and loving kindness to everybody around you? It affects everybody in the world. Do you want this place to be better? Do you want this place to settle down? Okay. Let's send some loving kindness. Not hatred to the governor because what he plans to do, or the president, what he plans to do. Don't send him hatred, send him loving kindness. That will help him to have an easier time. And it works. It really does. I had a friend that, when she came to do her first retreat, she read 4 or 5 newspapers every day. She always wore brown, black, white, gray. Those were the only colors that she had in her whole wardrobe. So I started talking with her about it. I said, why don't you stop reading the newspapers? Oh, I need to know what's happening. Why? What difference does it make whether you know this or that? You know, that I was teaching a retreat and the Queen's mother died. And there was somebody from England there, and they were taking their retreat. We didn't talk about this at all. And then she found out that the Queen's mother died, and she got real upset. And I said, how has that changed your life? Because you didn't know it. Life is still the same. Okay. You like getting emotional and making yourself upset? Some people really do. They get hooked on their own adrenaline and they can't hardly stand being peaceful and calm. But you will hear about major things from other people. You don't need to read about them, and you certainly don't need to watch them on the television. One of the things that I suggest quite often is you have a television, you wind up watching the news all the time, it's time to go to Home Depot and buy brick. Put it through the television and you'll be so much happier. Much.
Find a plant.
Yeah, put a plant instead of the television. So the whole thing with what are you supposed to do when you go home? Meditate every day if you can, if you want to progress. The longer you can sit every day, the faster your progress comes back to what it is now. So, there's no set formula on what you're supposed to do when you get off retreat. You can pick what you want to do. It's up to you. Please make it wholesome. Please use the 6 hours as much as you can remember. And for crying out loud, have fun. play instead of be serious. Laugh. Makes your body feel good. I don't know if you've noticed, but when you're waiting to come in for an interview, quite often you're going to hear some laughter in the room. Why? Because we're having fun. And it helps your meditation to get better, because you can walk into a light room instead of a heavy room. I had a friend that his sister, she really got depressed. And he and his wife invited me for dinner. And she called up her brother and said, "Can I come over for dinner?" I said, "Sure, why not?" When she came over, it was like this black cloud around her that just kind of followed her and sat down at the table. And I really like this, the people that invited me, so we started laughing and having fun and not being affected by what she was into and what she was doing. And I got time to get up and clear the table, and we all started doing that, and she stopped me and she said, "You know, you're really something. I feel so much better right now." And I wasn't even paying attention to her. I was just having fun. You can allow people to pull you down or not. It's your choice. I like to laugh and have fun more. It works. Okay. So this is the last talk of the retreat. And there's a couple of things that we need to do before the retreat is over. Now I want you to repeat after me. Reverend Sir.
Reverend Sir.
If I've done anything wrong, in thought, speech, or action,
intentionally or unintentionally,
please forgive me. Now listen closely. I represent the Buddha and all of the Sangha. I forgive you completely. Free your mind. Okay. Now let's share some merit. May suffering ones be suffering free, and the fear struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief, and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we've thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, Davis and mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddhist dispensation.
So do you have any announcements that you need to...
We